everyone, this is Kyle Dvorak at FF Kyle the Kid. You are listening to the RotoViz Weekly Recap on RotoViz Radio. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Go to rotoviz.com to check out the site. First, the NFL season is finally upon us. Get ready for it with a subscription to RotoViz NFL Pass, which you can get right now for 30% off. This discount is for listeners only, and it's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it supports the podcast. Again, be sure to get your 30% discount for an NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. It was the year of our Lord, 2007. Automatic qualifying conference member Oklahoma State Cowboys sauntered into Troy, Alabama to face the Troy Trojans and swiftly caught a 41-23 loss. This would be the most recent automatic qualifying or Power 5 victory for the Troy Trojans until they squared off with LSU in Baton Rouge last weekend. For a view of that game and how much trouble LSU is in, Kyle Pollock and Jordan Howard of the College Football Fantasy Show.
LSU lost at home to Troy, 24-21. It was a little, the score makes it closer than it was. They were down 21-7, I believe, going into the fourth quarter. Jordan Chun for Troy has been impressive last year. He was a guy kind of on my radar as like a college fantasy guy, but he had 30 carries for 191 yards and a touchdown against LSU's defense, which was supposed to be the strong point of their team. Darius Geis was out for LSU, but just because your best player is out doesn't mean you should be losing at home to Troy. Neil Brown, Troy's coach, I think is a guy that's going to get looks definitely in the coming years to become a not, you know, he's not going to get a huge Power 5 job, but something similar to what Jeff Brom got going to a place like Purdue. I could see him getting a job like that. I don't even know what to say about LSU. It's just embarrassing. They've really fallen off. I think they probably made a mistake hiring Ogeron. I know they kind of panicked after they couldn't get Tom Herman, but this team just looks awful.
Yeah. I don't really have, I can't really figure it out either. Like you said, Geis was out, but a team like LSU that has talent and depth, you know, that obviously hurts your offense, but it shouldn't completely submarine your team. I think that, you know, what keeps sticking in my mind, and this doesn't really have too much to do with the game, but Troy, I saw somewhere on Twitter, I think Troy got paid over $950,000 to come play this game. So they made almost $1 million, and they went to LSU and beat LSU. So it's like the quadruple million whammy for Troy. I just don't really know where LSU goes from this, because like we were saying, you know, they got beat by Mississippi State, and we thought that that might have just been because Mississippi State was good. Now we're finding out that Mississippi State might be closer to average, and that just weighs down on LSU even more. And I just really don't know what to make of this team, because there's still talent. That's the thing that I'm getting stuck on, is there is talent on that team. The quarterback situation is not ideal. It's obviously not ideal to have Geis, and they will hopefully get him back soon, but this is spiraling pretty out of control pretty quickly.
Yeah, it could be a kind of season that goes off the rails. I haven't looked at their upcoming schedule, but obviously they have, you know, Alabama and Auburn left on there. That's another two losses already, so you're already at four losses. You know, can they hang with a team like Texas A&M? I don't know. So it's definitely, you know, a couple toss-up games in there. They lose that, they could be looking at a, you know, 6-6 season or something even worse, potentially.
For a little more context, per my bookie, the money line on this game was -1490 for LSU, and the spread was -20.5 in favor of LSU. Needless to say, Troy made some people a lot of money this weekend. The next clip comes from the RotoViz Highlight Reel. Each week, the RotoViz Highlight Reel has two shows hosted by Dave Caven and Neil Dutton, and it's come to my attention that I've neglected to give Neil Dutton a single clip. To rectify this, here's Neil Dutton with Matt Wisp, talking about the eating your veggies of DFS, picking a defense.
So as we look ahead to week five, obviously don't want to spoil it for people who are going to be reading it, but who are some of the defenses you're targeting? Because I think you just said this is your week now, isn't it?
Yeah, this is my week heading into week five. And like you said, my article hasn't published yet, so they aren't finalized, but I have found a few teams I'm looking at that are going to feel a little bit gross to roll out there, but the matchup is really, really nice to look at. And so first ones I have in mind are the New York Giants. They're not good on defense. However, they're playing against Phillip Rivers, who's been a little turnover prone coming across the country, and they're playing them at 1 p.m. So the West Coast team coming east, and when I looked at the Chargers stats on that for the last two seasons, they're actually 2-7 in 1 p.m. games and have averaged just over two turnovers a game. I think it's like 2.1. And the Chargers, while they're not one of the primary teams to be targeting, they are the 12th ranked defense against opposing defenses. So they're right around league average. I think they were about 0.4 less than league average. And if you're catching them coming east, that's the primary time to get them. My second one that I really like should be a favorite of yours. I'm actually looking at the Philadelphia Eagles defense. And I had them in week three as one of my options against the Giants. It started out great. I thought I had picked a winner, and then that fell apart really quickly in the fourth quarter. But they are playing the Cardinals defense, who are 25th against opposing defenses, according to ESPN, which flips it. So it's actually their positive matchup. They've scored only 20 points 1 week and have had a turnover in three out of their first 4 weeks, and they actually haven't forced a negative week for an opposing fantasy defense.
Wow.
Still working on my third defense. Looking at the Raiders, the Titans, both of them, the only reason I'm concerned with either one of them is actually their individual quarterback issues. I'm afraid they might be on the field a little too long, which could cause some problems. And then last one I'm kind of toying with right now is actually the Jets, which is terrifying, but they're playing the Browns, and the simple analysis, play against the Browns and you'll probably do all right.
That article is posted now on RotoViz, so you can go and check that out. And I think streaming defenses or playing them in DFS is interesting because it's not all about picking the opposing defense of the team with the lowest score for the week. For more on the strategy of it, you can go ahead and check out the rest of the RotoViz highlight reel. This next clip comes to you courtesy of Colm Kelly and his guest Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. They'll talk a little bit about the Green Bay-Dallas game, which could be one of the most important games of the week for fantasy.
This week, obviously, the Packers are heading to Jerry World, the place where it has been pretty good to them over the last couple of years. They beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl there, won a surprise game with Matt Flynn, and recently won last year in the playoffs. And looking back, firstly, to last week's game, though, as we look back to Thursday Night Football, for myself, the biggest takeaway in that one was the injuries to the roster, Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery being the biggest of those. Looking back to that Thursday Night Football victory against the Bears, what was the biggest takeaway for you from the game?
Well, they found a way to win when it was clearly very difficult for any team to win under the circumstances they played with. I mean, they had their left guard starting at left tackle because David Bakhtiari missed his third straight game. That's kind of been the story of the season. They're 3-1 here, and they've been able to prevent some pretty dire injury circumstances, losing both starting tackles, losing the best defensive player, Mike Daniels, from sinking them early in the season. I think that there's a chance that 2 months from now, they can look back at this first month, and it's really a strong foundation to build off of, not just because of 3-1, but things could have been a whole lot worse. I think the Bears game is a great example of that with Lane Taylor. He'd never played tackle in his life. He said for him to have to, on a whim, on a short week, a Thursday night game, come out and play left tackle against a very good Bears front, he held up better than anyone could have imagined. And Justin McCray played pretty well on the right side, especially considering that he's a guard, and he's played well at right tackle for a couple games this season when Brian Bulaga has been unable to play. So just finding a way to win football games when there's no excuses in the NFL, but if you're playing without your two tackles, you're pretty close to having a good one. So they've been able to go 3-1 and not be sunk by those injuries.
Yeah, and you know, they obviously, as I mentioned, played in Thursday Night Football, so they got that kind of mini bye week after it. But with all the injuries, and you kind of touched on them there, just a few of them, they really did need those extra few days off.
That Packers-Cowboys game currently has the highest total of the week, with 53 points expected to be scored. we should see a lot of our biggest DFS weeks come from players like Jordy Nelson or Dez Bryant, who I'll have a bunch of in my draft lineups. For fantasy football fans who haven't heard about draft, here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for just 1 week, there's no management, you just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire, DraftKings takes care of the last minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple of minutes so you can join one right now. And the best part, play for cold hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everybody. No salary caps, play in a real live snake draft, just like you play in seasonal leagues. Come and join me on draft today. Download the app anytime, just search draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on playdraft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code RVRadio. That's right, play a real money game for free just for using the promo code RVRadio on your first deposit for draft. This next clip comes to you from the Dynasty Tradecast, where Eric Nathan and Dan, along with guest Ryan McDowell, discussed the recent Twitter poll of Amari Cooper versus Todd Gurley. It's really interesting, and I think Ryan McDowell's thoughts on the running back landscape are really important at the end. Have a listen.
Okay, let's move on to the second subject of our poll for today, and that's Todd Gurley. A poll update at the moment is currently Todd Gurley is more valuable in this trade, 74% to 26%. 200 votes in, it's probably not going to shift much by the end of the show, but we'll revisit it. So apparently Todd Gurley is significantly more valuable than Amari Cooper right now. Twitter, you're funny. Ugh.
So when I wrote this one in here, I just kind of posed the question to myself of because I think he was there at one point, and then Jeff Fisher kind of heard it. But do we move him back to the elite dynasty running back tier? Is he officially there now with his huge performance this week in Dallas yet again? It just seems like every week it's just what he's doing. Nathan, if you want to start with Gurley, I know you love Gurley. Do we think he's back in that top tier? Maybe it's a top four now.
Yeah, this may be a case of I've never been that high on David Johnson because of the age. I've never gotten so high on Le'Veon Bell because of the drugs and other issues. So I was kind of the last one to take him out of that top tier per se. So I would definitely put him back in there, you know, with the David Johnson, Le'Veon Bells, and Ezekiel Elliott, especially with his off-field concerns as well. So, I mean, it may sound weird, but out of those top four, I think that he's the safest right now in an offense. It looks like it's going to be explosive for, you know, the near future. I know that you weren't ever a big fan of Goff, Dan, but that offense is looking really good right now, and that he will go as the offense goes. And I'm not saying they're going to put up 30 points every week like they've been doing, but I think Gurley is going to continue being, you know, a top five running back in fantasy.
Goff was never my guy, but I will say that I liked him significantly
Goff
more
or
than
Wentz. Real quick. And,
no, definitely. It's still Goff for me. It's always been Goff. It will always be Goff. I actually have Gurley back in that top tier as well. I take him one spot ahead of David Johnson, but that's just me being stubborn because, again, I also don't really like David Johnson because I don't like winning. Ryan, do you have him back in that grouping? Is it a top four? Is it more for you?
That's a really good question. I probably need to update my rankings. Look, checking them out right now, I've got Todd Gurley at running back 8, and that does not feel good.
Nope. That was in front of Todd Gurley there.
I need to take a look at that. But I think maybe to take that question a little deeper is can that top tier expand even beyond 4 with some of the troubles that Bell, Zeke, and DJ have all faced this season in different forms. Maybe the top tier is just like 8 deep now with Freeman and Gordon and Hunt and some of the other rookies. I could almost see that. Like if you're putting in Gurley, maybe you're just putting in all of these guys there's very little difference between who we thought of as the big three and that second tier.
For reference, per our Dynasty ADP app, over the last month of the summer, Amari Cooper was being taken on average at the 11.1 spot, whereas Gurley was being taken at the 17.6 slot. So basically, people valued Cooper as a half-round better pick than Gurley. Now as we get into the season, using our Gillespie Projections app, which is only for this current week, but just to give you an idea of where we're at, Todd Gurley's median projection using just the four games from this season is 18.6. What the app does is it says that a player that looks statistically like Todd Gurley has typically played in his next game like the following and gives you an average. It shows you some of the comparable games, and Todd Gurley's include David Johnson the first six times, a sprinkling of Le'Veon Bell, then more David Johnson, and then some Marshall Faulk. Whereas Cooper's projection is 9.7, and his comparable games are games from Donald Jones, Herman Moore, and Devontae Adams. Oh no, it's 2014 and 2015 Devontae Adams, still very bad. On this show, I try and give you a preview of some of the other shows, and one thing I want to do is give you a real depiction of what the shows are like. I think the RotoViz mailbag is great because host Jeremy Hart always has a great time with guests. This week he has Pat James on, and I included a non-fantasy, but still I thought it was a pretty awesome clip with some fantasy at the end. Enjoy.
Movie within a movie time. Take movie one's cast of characters, pick them up, move them into a completely different movie's plot. What is the new movie and how does it play out?
All right, so I don't know if you get really wacky ones on your show.
On this show? Never.
How about The Dark Knight Rises cast? Okay, so Batman, Bane, all the crazy characters from The Dark Knight Rises, and we put them into Wedding Crashers. And that cast of characters is crashing weddings and going through all the craziness that Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn did.
So which one plays the Owen Wilson role? That's you know, like the most important role. I mean, just for comical value, is that Bane?
Yeah. Sure. I was thinking maybe more like the kid from Third Rock from the Sun who ended up Robin. I think that might be a good job for him.
Oh, there you go. And let me see. So. Yeah. Oh, I'm just playing this one out, Vince Vaughn. I mean, so who's playing Jeremy? Who's playing the Jeremy character? Is that Batman?
I guess that's Batman. He's Batman, right? But like, imagine all these people when a guy in a cape and a guy in a mask stroll through, and they're probably not the politest guests. So there's things go awry.
Some dude in a cape walks in with ears on his head. What do you? I'm a venture capitalist. That could actually be pretty funny. All right, here we go. Redraft: Andre Ellington or Wendell Smallwood, Javorius Allen, and Sterling Shepard. He can start too. Also curious on your DFS take on the Andre Ellington and Wendell Smallwoods of the world.
Yeah, I'll take Ellington and Shepard for redraft, but I think Andre Ellington's probably the best running back play point per dollar this week. Saw a ton of targets last week. I think he's really safe for cash. I think he's even a pretty good game stack in that Arizona Philly game, which might go way over the total. Both pretty fast-paced, pass-heavy teams. But yeah, I definitely like Andre Ellington at 4,600 on DraftKings.
Gun to your head, Andre Ellington or Duke Johnson?
Andre Ellington.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just think that, there's a $300 our savings there, and the Cardinals line has been so atrocious that Palmer last week, if you watch the game, he was literally snapping the ball and then looking right to Andre Ellington. And I think with Philly's pass rush this week, we're going to see a lot of the same. I think he has a chance for double-digit targets and or catches this week.
Oh, man. Getting my juices flowing on that one, because you know I need a value running back in my cash games here, so...
First question about the two movie combination thing. It seems like a subjective question. It's not. It has an objective answer, and I have the objective answer. I don't want to answer it because I don't want to step on Jeremy Hart's thing. It's a great question. I love it, and I don't want to answer it without him even asking me, but I have the right answer. If it's really that important to you, hit me up on Twitter at FFKyleTheKid. I will give you my thoughts, which are objectively right. Again, they're right. But that's going to do it this week. Before I go, I want to remind you that we have a lot of great content coming on RotoViz. We have great DFS stuff for both DraftKings and FanDuel. We have the DraftKings Play of the Week, sponsored by Fantasy Labs, whom I write for, where Charlie Kleinaxel gathers a pick for each position to make a DraftKings Millie Maker lineup from some of the best writers at RotoViz. And the writer with the best overall lineup gets a little cash prize. I think it's a really interesting read, and it's got little blurbs from all the writers on the picks they made. I think it's a really awesome read. That's going to do it for this week's Rotoviz Best of the Week podcast. I'm Kyle Dworchek. Find me on Twitter at FFKyleTheKid. Thanks for tuning in. Listening to the Rotoviz Best of the Week podcast. Please rate and review the Rotoviz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app where you can hear the full shows that the clips you just heard were from. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at rotovizradio. And remember, you can always support the podcast by subscribing to Rotoviz at a 30% discount through the Rotoviz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.